Unreserved Immigrant is a podcast that explores life as a Black immigrant in a foreign country. We explore the role of culture, work, language, and family as it relates to identity. Our guests range from founders, home executives, medical professionals, construction workers, musicians, maids, corporate specialists, and so forth. Unreserved Immigrant is a Sniper Wolf production.
In this episode, we speak to Renard, born in Cameroon and living in Cape Town, where he works as a UX designer. We hope you enjoy this episode.
So, Renard, where were you born?
I was born in Boyer, Cameroon.
Okay, have you ever been to Boyer, Cameroon?
I was born there.
Okay, well, as an adult, you were born there and then... Because I assume you left when you were young?
Yeah, I left quite young. I've actually never been to Cameroon since I left.
I knew that. That's why I said that.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's been 20 years since I've...
You probably left... How young were you when you left?
I was 9, turning 10, I think.
Okay, so you still have memories of the place?
Yes, yes.
What can you tell us about it? What do you remember? I'm sure 20 years later, it's probably not the same.
Yeah, I've been told.
But of what you remember growing up, what kind of place was it? And what kind of life did you have?
To me, like life of a child, it's different to the life of an adult, I would say. Okay, it wasn't all nice living with my parents. They each had their own differences. Do you want to know about the social and cultural influences from the country or my family life?
The country. And
okay, so the country is a very like African country, very corrupt.
Okay, I thought you were gonna say like luscious vegetation, lots of animals. That too is true.
Let's start there. It's very green. Yeah.
I'm a visual person, yeah. So I just painted.
So if you want to think Cameroon in terms of, because it's a tropical country, so
yes.
Think if you see images of Brazil,
yes.
You know, like
that's exactly what I was thinking.
And even like I went to Mauritius a few years back, and a lot of scenery reminded me of some of the places in Cameroon, because you have like, you know, you have your cities, and then you have obviously like you would say like your Transkei areas,
yeah.
with the village, which is where I actually have my fondest memory. Like, you know, no electricity, no running water, nothing. You really literally have to walk,
and you have to poop in the fields, outside, or in a long drop.
Like that was based deep in the forest, and walking through there at night, you could hear animals jumping from tree to tree, and you'd be like, you know what, I can sleep.
I don't need to do this.
I can sleep with this.
I don't need a toilet right now.
I can sleep with this, yes.
Okay, all right. Okay, so you left when you were 10.
Mm-hmm.
Who did you leave with? Your parents? Any siblings?
My parents moved here 3 years prior to my coming to South Africa. I lived with my uncle and aunt for those years, and together with my younger brother. And then about two years later, we came to meet our parents.
Okay. And when your parents were coming to South Africa, were you part of the conversation? Did you know what was happening? Or like all typical Black parents then, they were just going to South Africa and you will follow later, almost like immediately, like everything happens immediately. Kids don't get involved in decisions. Or were you?
Of course. Like I was not involved in this conversation. I think I only got to start sharing my opinion towards my parents when I was 23.
Oh,
It's like, oh, I think, like, before, like, as a teenager, I say, I think, like, what are you thinking now?
Wow. Okay. So, leaving your friends behind and your life behind, can you remember the early years of coming to South Africa?
Yeah.
I don't think you could speak English, could you?
No, English is my first language. I couldn't speak French properly. I learned French when the 2 years when I was staying with my uncle and aunt. English, I went to a boarding school, so English was very strict. Proper grammar was beaten into you. I mean, literally. So, if I now turn to be somewhat of a grammar Nazi, it's because of my upbringing.
Okay, yeah. You're pardoned. All right, so English was your first language. You didn't struggle with English, you struggle with French.
Yes.
So you came to South Africa and you came with both your parents, well, later on.
Yes.
And with your brother.
Yes.
And you came to... What year was it when you came to South Africa?
2000, I think the start of 2000. No, 2000, yeah, 2000.
2000. Yeah. Now, did you come and live in Cape Town?
Yeah, I've always been in Cape Town.
Okay, so Cape Town wasn't very black those days.
No, especially in my neighborhood. Yeah.
Where did you come and live and how was that?
We were in Maitland, somewhere near Pylons.
Okay.
So, yeah. And we moved to Maitland shortly after. I remember being like the only black kids, black family in the neighborhood then, you know, compared to now where it's a lot different.
Yeah. It's like almost, completely black.
It's a black area.
Yes.
So, yeah. So, I grew up in Maitland, so yeah. I stayed there for, I think, if I moved at 10, 13 to 14 years.
Okay.
And then I moved to Claremont, which is where I've been staying since.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
And I take it in your school, if there were any black kids, they were probably Xhosa speaking.
Mm.
Or coloured, which is Afrikaans speaking.
Mm.
And South Africa is very... We group ourselves according to our colour.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe then secondary our language.
Mm-hmm.
Where did you group yourself? Where did you go?
You know, I did not...
Or who took you in? It's either you went somewhere or you were taken in.
I was fortunate enough to not be taken in by any specific group, I'd say.
Okay.
Because actually the group that I was part of that started around grade 9 to grade 11, we were known as the Rainbow Group.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh,
so
guys were woke.
Yeah, so no, it wasn't intentional. It just happened.
Okay.
Like we had some few white kids, a few colored kids, and a few black kids, which is us. So we were just like, we cool with each other, so it was that. I think the name actually popped around grade 11, grade 12, because we all played rugby together as well. So, yeah.
Okay. All right.
So, like in that sense, that is why I do not understand Xhosa. Nor do I understand Afrikaans, because whenever we hung with each other, we only spoke English, because that was the best means of communication. So throughout my high school years, throughout my, like, I did not feel the need to learn any of the languages because English was sufficient.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if we had a form and you had to choose nationality,
mm-hmm.
like a legal form.
Yeah.
What do you mark?
Well, it's been placed onto me that I am going to be Cameroonian. Unless I change my citizenship, I am Cameroonian. And having it done so I would have to put in Cameroonian.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
After so many years in South Africa.
Yes. Oh, no. Have you been to Home Affairs lately?
No.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
That is the strangest thing.
Yeah. No, like, you should.
Okay.
Yeah, no.
All right. So, do you see yourself in South Africa for, like, in your future?
Mm.
Or do you see yourself going back to Cameroon? Or maybe even going, like, further out, even out of Africa?
Personally, I love Africa. Personally, I've never actually... Okay, not never. Like, when you were younger, you would always be sold the idea of...
America.
America and, you know, Europe and Paris and France.
Yeah.
And till I was around 16, I'm like, no, that's... And I started reading about the places because, you know, curious person as I am. And it did not have a lot of things that I wanted. Things I valued.
What are those things?
Freedom.
You feel there's no freedom in first world countries?
No. There's a perception of freedom. It's marketed well.
You're right.
But it's not.
Okay, well, the way I understand it now as you say it, because freedom to me is everyone being free to make their choice, have their opinion, without being penalized or punished for that view.
Yes.
And it's no longer like that.
Nope.
I hadn't thought of that.
A lot
but
of people
here
don't.
We are saying that in the in Africa and third world countries, oh, we need to free them.
Yeah.
We are free.
We are freer than a lot of them are.
I didn't realize this.
Yeah, it's
this is why we podcast. Wow, okay.
Yeah. So once I realized that, I was like, no, it's cool. It's cool. I would stay. If anything, I would like to build in the future, have some kind of impact in Africa. I don't know what yet. Maybe become a dictator or something.
Please don't. We have enough of those.
No.
Do you think maybe for skills though? Like I often play around with like going and doing some podcasting course or year degree or something. Like, do you feel like maybe to? Because they're ahead digitally and you are in the digital space, just for career, maybe for a few years, and then come back and have the impact that you want to have in Africa. Would you consider it?
I considered it until 6 years ago when Cape Town was named Design Capital. And that threw away all of that. There's no need for that. Because right now, top US and English companies are based here.
Okay.
And they ask you for positions and you don't need to travel. And if you and like with communication and technology, you can like I literally communicate with people in England, like we're having board meetings, so I don't need to travel there. The experience that the work I do impacts them as well. So there's no need for me to move to a place where I'll feel uncomfortable.
Yeah, I think precisely because we are in the digital space.
Exactly.
We can do. We can learn digitally.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. So this is not like the old days. Oh, you have to go work with the architects there and do manual work. Like no, it's digital.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna take a turn in this conversation, and get a little bit personal.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any children?
That's a good question. Let me count.
Oh my, please, the stereotype.
Okay, if I'm counting, I would have to say...
Oh, don't lie. Is this a real conversation where you let me count?
Yeah.
Oh my, count then. Let me give you time.
I mean, like, relax. You know?
Okay.
Like, I have... if I'm counting, I'll have to say zero.
Okay, good. Okay.
Good.
No, sorry. My bias.
Yeah, biases.
My biases. You know? I'm sorry, guys. Okay, cool. So no children, all
no
right?
Children. No.
No, it's not. I won't say that.
You should pick your questions right.
Yeah. Okay, so any significant other?
Not currently, no.
Okay, would you like to take that step in the future?
Of course, I'd like to.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
And so have you thought of things like nationality, children.
Nationality in what sense?
So, I don't know. Do you have a lot of people, I think now in the world that we live in, where we live with everyone.
Mm.
Like, I was born in the Eastern Cape, and when I was there, I never had to think whether I would marry someone who was out of my race. I never had to think if I would marry someone who didn't speak my language,
mm.
who was not from my... I never had to think of those things because that was not an option. I was obviously going to marry a Xhosa person
mm.
until I moved to Joburg,
mm.
where suddenly it's like, oh, would you marry a foreigner?
Mm.
Would you marry someone who's Tswana?
Mm.
Would you... Suddenly there were those questions. And I find that now in the big cities, we all have, to some extent, had to make those considerations.
Mm.
Is that something you've thought about? Like, would I, maybe someone like you would maybe prefer to marry someone from Cameroon to bring the blood back in
oh.
and maybe have...
God, no.
Okay.
Yeah. No, I say that not because I have anything against Cameroonians, per se. But I do. When I was younger, I thought about that, but not to the extent where it limits me. I don't limit myself according to nationality or background. Like I don't. That's one reason why I don't like being identified as that. Because when I meet people, I've dated people from different backgrounds. I've dated Indians. Koreans, Brazilians, Americans, and Europeans. So it looks like I've dated a lot of people, but it's not. Yeah, but I'm just saying.
Yeah, you only listed five. It's
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, yeah.
I was counting.
Yeah. So in that sense, I did not go for them because of their background or the whatever things I had. The personalities that attracted to me them, obviously, like physical appearances as well. If that works, I feel like everything else can work. You know, like having to sit here and say, no, I'm never going to marry a South African because, like, you're steeping into stupidity, which I don't, like, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So do you not have a feeling of, because the only reason I stop, well, I'm obviously already married and
hmm.
I've done the whole thing.
Hey.
But... I think for me, the only reason I had to say, hey, would you do this? Would you do that?
Mm.
Was to say, how much of my culture am I prepared to lose?
Mm.
And for me, my culture is very linked to my self-identity. So when I'm asking you, would you date people of other maybe nationalities
mm.
or languages or whatever, it's to... find whether you would you lose more of your culture or are you trying to retain it and like piece together whatever is left off, or does that not matter to you?
It does not matter to me at all. I like we started before, I told you I don't even identify as a black person if I could. So what I would like to find in a partner, someone that will help me evolve. I can't choose the path in which I evolve. You know, as long as you're able to bring growth to me and my life in some way or the other that I can see is positive and I can impact you in a similar manner, I think that is fine. Because if I'm trying to keep something that perhaps should be changed, I'll be limiting myself as well as my offspring.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness, you're not attached to black.
Nah.
By mere fact that you said, if I'm trying to keep something that might need to be changed.
Mm.
That's something I've thought of. I've thought that, you know, my husband's family is very interracial
mm.
as well.
Mm.
And some of the children who were black... and maybe they marry someone who's Asian, and you can see it's changing.
Mm.
And I've thought to myself that if my son
mm.
marries, or my daughter, let's say my son marries a woman who's black.
Mm-hmm.
We are, our surname is Marumo.
Mm.
Oh, he marries a woman who's white.
Mm.
She will be Mrs. Marumo, right?
Mm.
The kids will look a bit colored.
Yes.
And then if the son there marries another white person, then there will be white Marumos.
Yeah.
What world is this?
Exactly.
It is fascinating. Oh my goodness. Okay.
Yeah.
That's
actually, yeah.
Yeah. So I guess then Marumos would stop considering themselves as Sotho's. Because then they'd be maybe they'd be Irish.
Look, like
maybe they'd be Swiss.
If you want to identify yourself according to your lineage, I think that's why I say it's limiting. Because the world your grandparents lived in is not what you live in right now. When you're trying to retain that, you are holding
resisting change.
Yeah, you're resisting change. It means
I won't move to another province. I won't move to another country. I won't learn maybe a skill that is considered like a white person skill or an Indian person skill because I keep saying I'm black.
Yeah, you will not allow yourself to develop to your potential because of biases that you are trying to, like, I don't know, defend. That you feel like. And like to me, I feel like this is one of the basis of racism because a lot of people have things that they're trying to defend, but it's not actually helping them. You know, it's not helping you to think like it. It's not helping your offspring to think like it. But you are validating it in yourself and thinking that this is how it's always been, and you're trying to bring back old ways because it was comfortable in the stories that you hear. But it's not here.
Okay, so I already have children.
Yes.
And now for me, it's bringing up this thing of, I want to tell my kids they are something. And it's not that, I don't want to tell them that they're human.
Mm.
Because obviously they are.
Yeah.
I have this compulsion to tell them that you are Sotho kids.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And you should. You should tell them that. Like there's nothing wrong with being Sotho. Tell them you are Sotho kids. You shouldn't, you can't tell them that.
But what is the point of that now if this thing can be thrown away by having kids and keep having kids?
Let it be their choice what to choose to keep and what to choose to leave. But you tell them where they're from. You tell them what the culture is like. I mean, like, I feel like since you are very proud of your culture, you somehow or the other, directly or indirectly, instill it onto them. And as they grow, some of your kids might grow into situations that would favor those things and then actually keep it and enhance it, and others would not be so. And that is fine as well. But there's nothing wrong, because like, you can't sit there and be like, okay, cool, in the future, Sotho won't matter, so let me not... No, that again is you trying to
it's not natural.
Yeah, it's natural. Like,
yes.
You Sotho, and there's nothing wrong with being Sotho. Raise your kids, tell them like, cool, Sotho, this is where Sotho's come from, this is where you're... I know my grandparents' lineage. My parents, my father mostly, tells me about all everything, but it's not something that I should aspire to, because it's just for me to understand where I came from. You know, and he looks at me and says, yeah, and this is where we've come from and this is where you are. And he also almost tells me, I can't wait to see where you're going to take it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think my final question, do you not feel... I have a big thing about belonging.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for me, this whole exercise is to belong.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I have to... say that group's mine.
Mm.
We all belong there.
Mm.
If we have to choose, that's where we'll go. Even if it actually there isn't even a real Sotho group around where I live.
Mm.
The school is multiracial, but in my emotions, I feel like if there is a people, I need to belong to them.
Mm.
Do you not feel isolated, lonely, rejected?
Mm.
Do you have a sense of belonging in this world as the person that you are?
Honestly, that's a good question. And I'm going to give you an honest answer. Partially due to my upbringing, for other reasons that I know, but probably not this is the best place to share, or the best time to share, maybe on another podcast, you can look into that. I don't feel that need. Like, to be honest with you, I don't...
You don't feel the need to connect.
I don't feel the need to connect. I don't feel the need to force connection. I don't feel the need that we need to be friends because we both Cameroonians. I don't feel the need that we have to be friends because we're both black. I don't feel the need that we should be friends because we are both something else, that someone else. No. If I see you, like, you're Sotho. And I'm Cameroonian, or I'm from another tribe and thing, and we connect. That's meaningful for me. You become part of my group. And I'm not going to sit there and try to force myself into a predefined group. Because other Cameroonians, other Sotho people do not have the same approach as you do. They don't have the same goals, the same experiences, the same aspirations as you do. And that would impact you, because a lot of people sacrifice themselves. This is what the one thing that I don't do, that I don't like, because they sacrifice their personality for the group.
To belong to the group.
Exactly. And your personality, who you are, is what gives the group flavor.
Yes.
If you lose that, the group becomes...
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, just a point of correction, though. I am Xhosa. My kids...
Yes. Sorry.
My kids are Sotho.
You keep saying Sotho, Sotho.
Yes, because they're dads.
Yeah, they're Sotho. Okay.
Okay, I get it, and I understand. And I think we reject a lot of things anyway in 2019 that Xhosa people did. I no longer do a lot of the things.
Mm.
But I still feel like I must sign up for that group.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
Personally, when I grew up, my dad wanted to belong, like, to the Cameroonian group, you know. And I would see him trying to force us to know, like, these are Cameroonians, they share the same values, and, you know, you must know your fellow Cameroonians, especially from the same tribes, you know,
yes,
like Xhosa.
Me too.
And,
I like that.
And then I'm like, yeah, cool. But then, I don't know if I can swear here, but most of them were not good people.
Yes.
You know, and, like, why do I have to limit myself to
people?
Why do
I have to connect to these people?
Because I'm limiting myself to these people because they're of the same tribe as me. Why I can actually spend time...
But they're actually not the same tribe as you, if you get what I'm
saying. Yeah, exactly.
No?
Yeah.
They're not your tribe, but lineage, like culture, but not your people.
Not my people, exactly. And that's where I had to decide. Like, I follow my dad blindly and associate myself with people that don't have the same interests or have my best interest at heart at most times, you know. And that's a shocking part, because my dad would give a lot and I would observe him getting nothing back.
He would buy his belonging.
And with other groups, he didn't need to see and to do that, because he was already accepted. He himself, being who he is, was his not value. That he did not need to do that. So to me, growing up, seeing that happen, I don't see the need in having to force or buy myself into a group. You are Cameroonian, we are from the same tribe, we're both black, we're both this, we're both, like, everything. But if we connect, perfect, that's great. Then we can kick it. But if we don't, I'm not going to force it. Like,
okay, yeah. Cool. I think it was a great interview, lots for me to think about.
Yes.
And to close off, where can we find you on social media? Can you be found? Would you like to be found? Do you have any artwork or anything that's...
I do. Okay. I recently cleared my social media page, but you can find me on Instagram. That's Master Guy. That's MASTA_GAI. That is where I am predominantly based. You can see my fighting and some of the drawings I've done, and, you know, and in the future, moving forward, since I've cleared some of the history, the new things that I'm doing for 2020, I have quite a bit of plans. So, yeah.
Okay. Well, you heard it. He can be found on Instagram. I do not remember what he said. Mastermind.
Master Guy.
Oh, Master Guy.
Yes.
On Instagram. All right. Thank you and bye.
Bye.
If you enjoy this podcast, remember to subscribe and share. If you would like Sniper Wolf Media to tell your story, or perhaps you'd like to donate or partner with us, please send an email to Janice at sniperwolfmedia.co.za. We would love to tell your story.